Yeah. All right, time to talk with our good friend Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle. We do this for Truett and White, the professional builder's choice, and Marvin Windows and Doors. We look through the window of baseball. Bruce, how are you today?
Hey, Bruce.
Good. How you guys doing?
Very good. We miss you out here. How are you doing? How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm still it's a long recovery from a foot surgery, foot infection. Pretty much homebound for quite a while here. It's clearing up, but there is quite a deep surgical wound, and I got to be careful because it was a staph infection. And
Wow. But
it's going good.
All right. Well, take care of yourself. And as I said, you know, ball players are together for 7 months at a time. I hope that your teammates are keeping you cheerful.
Yeah, well, a couple of cats, they're pretty reliable. I usually know what they're up to.
All right.
Well, Bruce's column in the Chronicle today, the Three Dot Lounge, was quite feisty, Bruce. You had some, you were throwing some zingers out there. That was good stuff.
I didn't even get around to the Cleveland Cavaliers ad where they show a guy throwing a woman across the room because she was wearing a
bull.
Yeah, Bulls t-shirt. It was a great week for lunacy.
Yeah, but your column was on point. I really enjoyed stuff. And let's just start right there. Dusty Baker and Barry Bonds going into the Bay Area Hall of Fame, Bruce. I mean, those are some Bay Area titans.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you know, Bonds, everybody's got their opinion. And if you don't think he belongs in the Hall of Fame, your mind will never be changed, I would imagine. But I've always been completely on the opposite side of that. It's any Hall of Fame that he's not in it, you know, it's just kind of a joke to me. And I just quoted Kruko and Kuiper talking about he's so much more than just the long ball and, you know, building up his body and hitting more home runs. I mean, the guy was a savant of the game and in so many ways. I remember hearing Tony Gwynn talk about Bonds at an All-Star game. They're sitting together on the bench, and Bonds is telling them everything that's going to happen. Just over the pitch that was coming and what this guy, his tendencies were. And so I think that's great that he's going in. And, you know, Dusty, tremendous Bay Area figure, Sacramento roots. And the point I try to make is that if you talk about, Marty, if you talk about really good players and really good managers in the same package, who's better than Dusty?
Right.
And you go back many years and you got, you know, Rogers, Hornsby, and Frankie Frisch. These guys, a lot of guys, really good players, managed teams way back. But pretty much after the war, it became a different thing. Your managers are more like Sparky Anderson or Tony La Russa. You know, they had like three at-bats in the bigs. And so the company's more like guys like Bob Lemon and Lou Boudreau and, you know, that sort of thing. But Dusty's managerial track record is exceptional. It's exceptional as it could be without winning a World Series title. And, of course, he was a great player as well.
Boy, great point. As you were speaking, I think of Solly Hemus or, you know.
Solly Hemus.
I mean, you know.
Now, who's Solly Hemus, Marty?
No, I'm just thinking about players who played and then managed. But, you know.
There's a lot of them.
No,
but I mean, I'm talking about who were
You go back to those kind of players. You don't find the stars.
Right, exactly.
I guess that's the point I'm trying to make. Hey, Davey Johnson, was he a star?
He was a very good player. I don't think he was a Dusty's caliber. He was a little bit overshadowed by Boog Powell and the great Orioles pitching staff and Frank Robinson. And he was a heck of a player, no doubt, and he did a lot of good managing.
Yeah, I'm glad for Dusty. You know, this is a great event. I'm going to go Monday night.
Oh, good.
Anthony Savicki invited me to go along with Beer Can to go see us. I'm going to go over. The only time I was there, Bruce, is when I was a presenter for Campy Campaneras.
Oh, that's nice.
It's a great event. I mean, it really is. All the Bay Area icons of sports show up. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I've never gone, and I got an invite from Savicki this year, too. I was able to write the inscription that's going on Dusty's plaque, and I've known Dusty for years, and I was so looking forward to go. I think my wife's still trying to figure out a way to get over there, but I'm definitely homebound for quite a while yet.
Okay. Who do you think will be the presenter? It's it's like the Hall of Fame. Someone comes up and makes a speech about the person, then the person eventually comes up. But who do you think will be the presenter, if you know, for Dusty?
I don't know, and it's a good question. I mean, if it's, you know, his time with the Giants didn't really end that well. It was a shame, you know, after they went to the World Series, that was it for him. But it's a tough question. I mean, there's a lot of possibilities, but I don't know exactly who it is.
How about Marvin Bernard?
Why not?
How about Darren Lewis? Darren Lewis.
Okay.
Right. That would be good. Well, what do you think about the Giants, the week of the Giants? Bruce, you know, four shutouts in six games. I think we mention it, kind of gloss over it. But for a pitching staff that had all the question marks, it's a heck of a week.
Yes, every game's kind of an eye-opener. It's like, wow, that guy pitched well, or geez, that was horrible. Mostly on the brighter side. The pitching's been great. I mean, Lindstrom, last night, in the wake of what he's done, I mean, it's almost time to say there's something very real going on here. I mean, that fifth-inning strikeout of Giancarlo Stanton with the bases loaded, that was just textbook. It's just three pitches and see you later. I just love what he's doing. You know, Hudson's outing was a little disturbing, I'm sure, to him, too. And I think you're right. We're probably seeing the last season of Hudson. But he's had some great outings, and he'll have some more. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
I think it's great that, you know, with all the things that have gone on with the rotation, there's a lot of good things happening now, and they're able to keep Petit just right where he is. You just stay there as that setup guy. You're going to come in handy a lot of the time, and it's been pretty stable.
The Marlins without D. Gordon, they didn't use him last night. He's banged up a little bit, and he's not in there tonight against Madison Bumgarner. Mm-hmm. Bruce, 150 at-bats against Bumgarner, 141 are right-handed. How about that?
Wow, yeah. And he's got, isn't he leading the league in hits right now?
I think he's tied with Rogers Hornsby. You know, I think he's got, Hornsby had like 53 in 28 games, and so does D. Gordon, if you can believe that.
Well, you know, I can. I mean, he, as weak of a hitter as he looked when he broke in with the Giants, with the Dodgers, mm-hmm. he has really grown as a player. Great stock for his dad, Tom Gordon. I just remember Dave Lopes talking about him early on, saying this kid has what it takes to be great. And you could see it on the bases, obviously. And he's a great, great-looking athlete, extremely fast and agile and smart player. Now he's learning how to hit. I mean, he's going to be tremendous in that batting order. He and Stanton are going to be quite a pair.
He's got 53 hits in 28 games.
Batting 437.
He's hitting 437. And, you know, Bill Terry did this. You know, we got to go backwards here.
George Sisler, you know.
Right. This is a good story. We need Alan Beyer to tell this story for us.
Yes.
All right, Bruce Jenkins with us. Bruce, I had fun with the post game last night, and I said you couldn't script. That's what we love baseball. You never know what's going to happen every day. You see something different. Last weekend we saw people getting hit by the ball.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden last night, Casey McGee comes up in the most dramatic situation, and everyone's thinking one thing, don't hit into a double play, and the guy knocks it out on a 3-2 pitch. How about that?
That was really tremendous. I felt so good for the guy. You know, he's been a real stand-up guy in the clubhouse. He hasn't been throwing things around or blaming something or other for what's going on, and he's very humble. He's been humbled by the game. He's been humbled by it before. This is just the latest episode. He's got a pretty good idea. He's going to snap out of it. And, you know, he did ground into two double plays last night, but the second one, my God, you can't hit a ball any harder than that. So he's really making good contact. So, you know, hopefully he'll come out of it.
You know, you got to break the curse, so to speak.
And I think, like you said, I mean, if he wasn't around, would Matt Duffy be playing third? I kind of doubt it. I mean, it's the last thing they thought in spring training, or the last thing they thought before they replaced Sandoval,
right,
is that it would be Duffy. I mean, they had to bring somebody else in. I'm not saying Duffy can't do it, but you know, you got to give McGee some rope, and he's starting to sting the ball a little bit now.
Yeah, let's see what he can do. You know, there's curses in baseball. You know, we go through this, the curse of the Billy Goat and all
sure.
that, you know, all this kind of stuff. Maybe we have to take McGee out for lunch to the Double Play, the restaurant. Down by Old Seal
what about
Stadium.
Original Joe's?
Take him to the Double Play. Have lunch at the Double Play, and you'll see that'll be the end of his double plays.
He'll come back feeling great, and he'll hit into a triple play.
You remember the double play, don't you, Bruce?
I've been there. 16th and Bryant?
Yeah. Yep, that's it. Well, they got a hell of a breakfast burrito. I recommend it to anybody that's got a big appetite. That thing is a monster.
I could go in there and just look at the pictures, you know. Maybe a little cocktail.
It's great.
Yeah, sure.
All right, Brandon Belt, how about this record? He's got he's heading one away from Jeff Kent. Seven games in a row with a double. He's got six right now. How about that?
Yeah, you know, every time he goes the opposite way, which has been a lot lately, it's just great to see. It's really a natural thing for him. The way he swings it, balls over the middle or away, it's a very natural thing for him to go the other way. And, of course, you know, the more he does it against the right-hand pitcher, the less they'll shift on him. You can't pitch him inside every single time. And he's another guy that's kind of finding himself after looking, you know, kind of lost up there.
Yeah, good stories last night. Posey, hey, how about Posey running last night?
Yeah,
you know, Roberto Kelly had a pretty good night last night, and he did. He picked up Posey, and I'll tell you honestly, Bruce, I don't think I've seen Posey run better on the bases than he did last night.
Yeah, that's pretty encouraging too, because I mean, this is a guy who's caught three World Series titles, and he's been the catcher, and he's going to be the catcher. He wants to be the catcher. And he doesn't want anybody looking at him and going, well, gosh, look at him. There you can see the wear and tear right there, you know, and it's been anything but. I mean, he looks totally fresh in all phases of the game, which is just terrific. I mean, as much as they want to see Susak back there eventually, they got to ride this guy out as a catcher, you know, for a good while yet. And I was a little surprised that he was running that well, but it's encouraging.
You know, Bruce, I was talking to Marty earlier, and I feel like Buster Posey has improved even with his defensive skill. Am I grasping at air there, or do you think he's picked it up a little bit?
No, there's no doubt. The great ones never stop learning. Mm-hmm. They never stop improving. You know, like a basketball player comes back with a new shot, you know, or you know, a ball player comes back, he's got a little different approach. He's a little tougher to get out. The way people were getting at him last year, that's not working anymore. And for Posey, and he's, you know, he's got the benefit of working with a lot of pitchers that he's very familiar with, goes back to 2010 with some of them, and 2010. And, he's an extremely bright baseball mind just to begin with. So, to me, it's hardly surprising that he's improving every year. You know, he didn't break in, you know, as a Yadier Molina back there. He was a little raw in some cases, but he gets more polished every year, mm-hmm. and it's great to see. I mean, just the idea that he rarely worked with Lincecum, then out of nowhere they pop that combo in there, and it's brilliant.
Yeah, and I someone said it last night. I think there's some truth to it. That I bet Lincecum ups his game a little bit pitching to Posey. I think he probably shows him a lot of respect.
Yeah, I think he gets a little more jacked up because, you know, how about this, Buster? I'm not going to bounce a single ball off your shins tonight. We're going to have some fun.
Yeah,
really. Hey, I appreciate you being with us. A couple of things. We'll talk about it tomorrow. The great Ichiro is here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And,
love Ichiro.
Talk about his career and where he fits into just the timeline of baseball. And also Aoki and the start he's had and how this outfield is going to eventually come together. I want to get your thoughts on it when Pence comes back. And I also want to do the definitive definition of Solly Hemus with you.
We'll get into Solly and maybe a little Smokey Burgess, too.
Okay.
I love it. Thanks, Bruce.
All right.
Have a good afternoon.